Here's another inspiring speech recorded at Communities in Control, Australia's biggest and best annual community sector gathering.
Can I begin by acknowledging the traditional custodians in the land that we're meeting on, the people of the Kulin Nation, and pay my respects to their elders, their customs, and any other Indigenous leaders and elders here today. I'm here today to talk about the leaders that we should have. Unfortunately, Michael Kirby can't be with us, but we can be certain of one thing. He would have inspired you, but taken more inspiration from this room full of grassroots community leaders. You would have drawn on his great intellectual and community advocacy to inspire you. But today, I want you to acknowledge the people in this room, the people behind you, in front of you, beside you, who also we need to thank for their community leadership, fighting for equality and making our community a better place in which to live. I say this because I look around this room and I can already see many familiar faces that have helped pave the way for me in their great community leadership and advocacy. To be sitting here musing about leadership with you here today. And I also recognise other people who, whilst I've been working on areas like fighting for the rights of people with disabilities and women, I can recognise other people here who have been at the forefront of other battles for their communities. So can I ask you to do something that we don't often do enough? And that is to stand up now. Can I ask you to stand up? No. And I'm going to remain seated. We're not going to have any miracles in this room today, but we are going to give you and everyone around you and in this room a heartfelt standing ovation for your community leadership. Thank you. I'm not sure if you polled 1,000 Australians and asked them to nominate or name our leaders, they'd nominate many people in this room, but I would. In thinking about today's talk, I wondered about how strange it was that someone like me, a woman sitting in a wheelchair, should be talking to you about leadership. Shouldn't it be John F. Kennedy or John Winston Howard, I thought to myself. 40 years ago, I would never have been asked to speak about leadership. The person that would have been asked would have probably been a member of the Melbourne Club, male, wealthy, upper class, heterosexual. But 40 years on, thankfully, things have changed. When Donald Horne wrote The Lucky Country 40 years ago, we didn't have women in the public sector able to continue to be employed if they were married. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australians were not regarded as human beings under our constitution. We had a white Australian policy. Human rights and people with disabilities didn't appear in the same sentence. Lesbian and gay men dared not speak of the life and love that they shared. These things have changed because community leaders and their followers dared to believe in the beauty of their dreams. We're waiting on the Melbourne Club, but these things have changed, at least. Being clear now about what community leaders have brought about in bringing those changes about and the changes that you've brought about already will help us make sure we don't need to wait another 40 years to bring about more much-needed change. To me, community is about belonging, culture and memory. So today, I want all of us in this room to celebrate some people who've provided leadership in shaping who our community believes belongs and considers belongs, what our culture is, and help us see what community leadership is. The textbook version of leadership involves vision, drive, and dedication. But we need to ask what the purpose of leadership is. Community leaders also need the gifts of the Wizard of Oz. They need heart, they need courage, and they need a brain. Tin Man, machine-like and incapable of love, had to find the heart in order to become a leader. The community leadership, we need hearts. We need hearts to care, to empathise, to feel injustice, and to be passionate about righting wrongs. We need new community leaders with the hearts of those great Indigenous leaders who endured for so long gut-wrenching dispossession, discrimination, and abuse. They saw their people demoralised and marginalised, but still they had the heart to fight and to move heaven and earth for a white Australia to recognise their rights to be recognised as the original owners in this land. Let us celebrate today those who fought so hard to keep Indigenous issues alive in Australia. People like Jack Patton, Charlie Perkins, Uluru Noongar, Eddie Mabo, Doug Nicholls, and many others. The lion had to find courage. Courage is a critical aspect of community leadership. We need now more than ever the courage shown by Walter Lippmann, Jim Gobbo, and Petro Giorgio in the struggle to recognise the worth of multiculturalism and to debunk the Anglo-centric stereotypes that Australia held. We should applaud too the courage that Petro Giorgio is now showing once more in his refusal to allow the issue of refugees to be swept under the carpet yet again. Petro's example poses the question for us. How do you balance a general commitment to the aims of an organisation that you do not wish to see harmed or diminished with a particular disagreement on a specific issue? The straw man maybe had the answer. He needed to find brains. This is a third critical aspect of leadership. The brain shown by Anne McDonald and Rosemary Crosley, two people who've tirelessly written and agitated about the need to free one woman with a disability from St Nicholas Hospital in Carlton, a large Dickensian institution, into a movement that could shut down not only that institution, but provide the impetus and guidelines for statewide deinstitutionalisation, the importance of giving people with disabilities the resources to have their voices heard. Who can believe now that in our lifetime, children were starved to death 5 minutes walk away from the Victorian Parliament House? We need now this kind of intelligence to turn problems on their head and to find lateral solutions to removing barriers for change. While we have some shining examples in our politicians, like the recent initiative announced by Victoria's Attorney General in a consultation on whether or not we should have a Charter of Human Rights, we in Australia now appear to have hearts that can grieve openly for an Australian on drug charges, but be impervious to Indigenous Australians asking for a substantive justice or the pleas of Afghans on Nauru. Do we really want our politicians to prove how hard-hearted they are in order to be taken seriously? Without empathy, there is no justice and no capacity to realise human rights. Of course, heart, courage and brains aren't the only things that a leader needs. They also need followers. Leadership doesn't actually reside in a person or a title. Leadership must be earned and is something that goes on between people, as all of us in this room know. Please let me assure you, speaking today about leadership and stringing some clever words together certainly doesn't make me a leader. It seems to me leadership only exists in relationships. No matter how charismatic a person is, they can't be a leader without they are able to influence others to act. As I suggested earlier, being a leader, you have to have courage. You especially need to be prepared to not be popular. But without followers, you can't be a leader. A leader not only has to have courage, but they must be able to strive and inspire it in others. So Michael Kirby, who can't be here today, is someone that I'd like to call up as a great example of showing immense courage and building that courage in others. Listen to his speech to the 2000 opening of the Gay Olympics. Little did my partner Johan and I think 30 years ago as we danced the night away at the Purple Onion, less than a mile away, that we would be at the opening of the Gay Games. With the Queen's representative and so many to bear witness to such a social revolution. If an angel had tapped us on our youthful shoulders and told us of such change, we would have said impossible. Well, nothing is impossible to the human spirit. That's true courage from a High Court judge. Paradoxically, courage, brains, heart, insight, drive, motivation come to naught without the capacity to ignite courage in others. Leadership is also obviously about sharing the vision. We need leaders to expand our sense of what is within reach and possible to control beyond ourselves. I've seen community leaders create an inclusive organisation by changing the culture to extend the borders of trust over the fault lines of old ignorance and old antagonisms. I've seen poor leaders retreat to the convenience of the old ways and the old target groups. But the hardest thing of all is to move on. How many chairs of community groups or coordinators or artistic directors do we know over the years who've said, we can't get new blood? That's constipated leadership. Leadership that won't let anyone else have a go. It's leadership for the here and now, and it's leadership for today with no consideration for the needs of tomorrow. We need to build and nurture those people that can take over. I don't want to overly romanticise leadership because, of course, leaders can be monsters, as we know, and they can be corrupt. Where this happens, it's usually because the group gives over its heart, its brains and its courage and its wisdom and passively puts its trust in one person. We know that for communities to be in control and for communities to truly work, that can't happen. Leadership is one of those really popular topics, isn't it, of our time. In fact, I'm told that our community's website has over 140 leadership courses on it. The word leadership, though, doesn't actually denote of itself values. And it appears that leadership courses are focusing a bit more on skills than they are on values. Values doesn't really appear much in course outlines to draw out qualities of empathy, tolerance, sensitivity and kindness. I'm not aware that they talk much about the courage to stand against the tide, the heart to stick up for fairness and justice, and few talk about the brains to be risk-taking to find new solutions. We can't allow leadership to be a value-free vacuum. We need to regard community leaders standing up for communities, for human rights and social justice, with respect and not with suspicion. The reason that you in this room are here and pushing new ideas and working out how you can achieve your actions that you've identified is that because you believe in change. And whilst you see a lack, injustice, a need, when you look in a glass darkly at night, you see a way of groping forward. Great leadership in community ensures that community members are part of the solution rather than having a solution imposed on them. This requires leadership to show genuine respect for others and to be truly inclusive and valuing of others. Where has leadership led to a place where people can say they belong? It's in the fantastic neighbourhood houses and the community house movement pioneered by great leaders like Gwen Wesson and Phil Slattery. These leaders and others like them showed brains, courage and hearts to create a model that we now have where people are really included in their community. They started off with a focus on women being able to acquire new skills in their community when they were going at home and had no job opportunities or training opportunities. But now they're truly places where all people, regardless of background, disability, ethnicity or race, can be included. Whilst many people have contributed to this, many people have exercised their leadership, we should acknowledge those like Phil and Gwen in setting up this fantastic movement in Australia. So let's honour some more of our community leaders. And I think about the fantastic leadership shown in the 70s by people in the disability rights movement, recognised, in fact, by Rhonda Galbally in her book Just Passions. This was a group that worked like a collective, like in the women's movement, and worked really effectively in fighting for the recognition of human rights agendas to people with disabilities, pulling down institutional walls and mindsets. And people like Jeff Bell, Roger Melnick, Dickie Aitken, Hal Fitzpatrick and Rob McNamara. A second example of heart is and courage and brains is the leadership in setting up the self-help movement in Australia and putting it on the map. Whilst there were many working in the self-help movement, Jenny Florence created an extraordinary network through her courage, heart and passion of people who recognised that their voices were authentic voices that could create real leadership in how the community needed to respond to their needs rather than having solutions imposed on them. Jenny set up the collective of self-help groups. The collective was a network where the Seahorse Club, Council for the Single Mother and Her Child, Tenants Union, Unemployed Workers Union, Residential Tenants Union, Disability Resources Centre all met and came together sharing that in common. These pioneers changed the direction of much in our community sector today. Rather than community service agencies being the experts and users being passive recipients, the power had begun to shift. A lot has changed as a consequence, but maybe there's still a lot of rhetoric rather than empowerment, true empowerment. What I do know is that the culture and organisation and the community service agency will reflect its real intention regarding empowerment. How many consumers are on the boards of most community service agencies that you think of? If consumers aren't on boards, how do the service agencies know that they're an empowering service, what it looks like, what it feels like? How many disadvantaged Australians, take Indigenous Australians or people with disabilities, are employed by these agencies? Have they developed, are you developing positive discrimination employment strategies? Do you know a community agency that is? This would really be a tangible empowerment strategy, putting your money where your rhetoric and empowerment really is. Now, I want to fast forward to 2005. We can't hang on to those romantic images without checking that they're still models that are applicable and those qualities of leadership are still applicable to the challenges that we face today, because we do face many. We need new approaches and new leadership to take on the challenge. Australia is in an era of enormous change and transition. Australians, or at least white Australians, live longer, get richer, move to cities, have smaller families, live further from their work, and interestingly, working over 220 hours a year, or 5 weeks more than the OECD average. Church, family, gender roles, and the nation state are all inextricably changed by these changes and transitions. fewer Australians go to church than ever before, fewer belong to political parties, fewer belong to unions, more live alone, more work for money and work many more hours. All this diminishes communities as well as provoke anxiety. There are things that we know need changing. Leadership needs to tackle some of these challenges. In Indigenous affairs, each community we know is now required to negotiate its own workplace agreement with the department, training a curfew for a petrol pump. Who could blame anybody for losing heart? In multiculturalism, the old stereotypes of the threat from Asia have been re-embodied in new forms, but the old bigotry has flared again. In disability rights, we have reached a stage where there are now rights for those who have the resources to contest them, but where the principles of inclusion and autonomy for all struggle for recognition. In the film The Wizard of Oz, you may remember the wizard sidesteps the difficulties of bringing about brains, courage and heart. All three are paid off in false coin. We can't let that happen to us. So now, more than ever, we need leaders with courage to lead from the front, being first out in the trenches to attract the flak for the others who are to follow. We need leaders who show by their attitudes and actions how everyone else should behave. We need leaders with the heart to take on unswerving commitment to keep people going through the darkest times. On the other hand, we do not need leaders who allow the bright, unswerving, immaculate vision that they have to blind them to the oncoming train. We need leaders with the brains to move seamlessly from that vision into harsh realism. If ever there is a time for renewal of leadership with values, it is now. And I want to leave you with 10 tips for human rights action Loretta O'Donoghue in her human rights oration in 2003 for the Equal Opportunity Commission gave. And you can find these on our website if you'd like to look at them. Gus Nottel, in his first address to the First Communities in Control conference, challenged community leaders to continue to speak out and to lead and convince and cajole for change, recognising still enormous inequality exists, but we can not look back and say the pain wasn't worth it. So we need you now to lead or to follow or perhaps get out of the way. Those who say it cannot be done should not interrupt those who are doing it. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Do stay strong. Do continue to lead. We need you. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this highlight from the Communities in Control Library. If you did, we'd love you to rate or review this podcast in the iTunes Store and for you to share it with your friends. For further information about Communities in Control, visit communitiesincontrol.com.au.